Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. You know, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, we're pausing our current series to bring you a special message from Pastor Rick, one that will help you reflect on God's goodness and grow a heart of gratitude. Now, let's jump right in with part one of a powerful message called Being Thankful Even in Bad Times.
Thanksgiving is not an easy holiday for a lot of people. Anybody in pain has a hard time being grateful. How do you be thankful at Thanksgiving if the doctor just told you it's cancer? How do you be thankful at Thanksgiving if the person you love the most just walked in and said, I don't love you anymore, and I'm leaving you for somebody else? How do you be thankful when you have a chronic illness that just isn't getting any better? How do you be thankful this Thanksgiving when you've been laid off and you've gone to 14 job interviews and they've all turned you down? How do you be thankful when your dream has collapsed? Or when an economic tsunami has wiped out everything you've earned in your lifetime? How do you be thankful when your son commits suicide? 2013 was the worst year of my life. How am I supposed to be thankful at Thanksgiving? And yet the Bible tells us to always be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the first verse on your outline, it says this: Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for your life? Part of God's will is that you give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the key to this verse is the little word in. I am grateful that it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. The difference between the word in and the word for is the difference between maturity and masochism. God doesn't expect you to be grateful for everything in your life, because there's a lot of bad in your life. There's a lot of bad, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of sin in the world, and it would be stupid, it would be masochistic to be grateful for sin and the suffering it causes. I'm not grateful when somebody gets leukemia or lupus. I'm not grateful when a woman is raped or a child is molested. I'm not grateful when there are wars. I'm not grateful when there's racial profiling and people are prejudiced and bigoted against because of their race. I'm not grateful when there's injustice in the world. In fact, the Bible says there's some things you ought to get mad about. You ought to get angry. Anger is often an evidence of love. Somebody hurt my kids or grandkids, I'd get angry. That's an evidence of love. God gets angry when he sees evil in the world. So the Bible doesn't say be thankful for everything. That would make God a tyrant. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks. Why? Because even in the darkest times, in the worst periods of desperation, even when my life is totally falling apart, there's always some good things that I can thank God for. No matter how good things are in your life, there's some bad things you need to be working on. And no matter how bad things are in your life, there are some good things and some blessings you can be grateful for. So how do I be grateful when I don't feel like it? How do I be thankful even in bad times? Well, you look at the things that you can always be thankful for. And the Bible gives us five things you can always be grateful for. I don't know what you're going through right now as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday, but I do know that these are five things you can always be grateful for. So what are the things I can always thank God for? Well, let's get right into it. Number one, the Bible says I can always be thankful for the grace God shows me. I can be thankful for the grace that God shows to me. Now, what is grace? Grace is when God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. Everything in your life is a gift of God's grace. The air you're breathing right now is a gift of God's grace. You didn't own it. You didn't buy it. You don't deserve it. The next beat of your heart is a gift of God's grace. The Bible says every good and perfect gift, everything in your life you owe to God, even your own life. He gave you your mind. He gave you your sight. He gave you your hearing. He gave you your voice. Everything in your life is a gift of God. And if God hadn't decided to create you to love you, then you wouldn't exist. So it's all by God's grace. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't buy my way into heaven. I can't bargain my way into heaven. It is just a flat-out gift of God's grace. He says, you earn it? No. You receive it. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift you receive, and the only thing you have to do is believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, paid for your ticket to heaven. That's it. You didn't do anything. It was all done by Jesus. And on the cross, he cries out, "It is finished." In other words, I have paid for your salvation. It's all a gift. Now, in Psalm 103, David gives us a list of the gifts of God's grace. These are things we can be thankful for. I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. In other words, the gracious gifts of God. He forgives all my sins by grace. He heals me by grace. He ransoms me from hell by his grace. He surrounds me with his love. He fills my life with good things by his grace. He's merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. That means me. He's slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. Man, I like that one. He never bears a grudge by grace. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. If I got what I deserved in life, my rebellion against God, my trying to be God, my playing God, my thing, I don't need God. I wouldn't even exist. I can always be thankful for grace, the grace that God shows me every single second of my life. I don't deserve anything. God gave me this next second of my life. And if he didn't want me to have it, I wouldn't have it. So I'm grateful for the grace that God shows me every moment of my life. Number two, I can always be thankful for the plans God has for me. The grace he shows to me and the plans he has for me. Because God has good plans for your life. Now, it's very obvious that life is not always good. A lot of things that happen in life are bad. They're painful. They're difficult. Life is tough. Life is not all sunshine and lollipops and roses and rainbows and My Little Ponies and Rainbow Bright. And yet, although life is not always good, God is always good. And God's plan for your life is always good. You say, well, not everything that happens in my life feels good. Well, not everything that happens in your life God planned. Don't blame God for your mistakes. Don't blame God for your choices. When we say that God has a plan for your life, that doesn't mean that you're in it. You could be out of God's plan your entire life. You have to choose to be in God's plan for your life. God says there are many ways that seem right unto a man, but the ends thereof lie in the way of death. There's one road. You got to choose God's plan. The Bible says this, "I have good plans for you," says the Lord, Jeremiah 29:11. Circle the word good. "I have good plans for you," say the Lord. "I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future." Some people believe they worship a God who causes all their suffering. I worship a God who bears all my suffering. Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 56, and he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sins was laid upon him. Jesus Christ on the cross took my suffering, took my death. We have a God who doesn't watch our suffering callously. We have a God who suffers with us, and not only that, takes our suffering on himself, dies in our place. That's the plan of God. Now, as I said, God doesn't plan the sins either, the ones you do or the ones other people do and hurt you, and you get hurt you know, innocently because of other people's sins. God didn't plan those things. But God's plan says, my plan is bigger, and since God already knows every stupid mistake I'm going to make and you're going to make in life, he goes, I can fit that into the plan. And God already knows how other people are going to hurt you and sin against you, and God goes, that's not good, but I can fit that into the plan. I can use that, and I can use that, and I can use that, and I can use that. God has no plan B for your life. That's something I can be thankful for. I'm not on plan E, D, F, G, or H. God says, yeah, you know, all this stuff, I didn't want this for you. It wasn't part of my plan, but because you walked off and did your thing, that happened. But you know what? I can fit that into the plan for your life. That's something that we can be grateful for. That's something we can expect God to use in our lives. Let me compare your life to a cruise line. Let's say we got on a cruise, you and I, and you and me, and we got on the cruise, and we go from L.A. to, say, Tokyo. Now, that cruise ship is headed toward Tokyo, but while we're on that cruise ship, like in your life, you have a lot of free choices. You have a free will. It's just not completely free. You have limited free will. So, for instance, on that cruise line, you could eat all 7 buffets. I wouldn't advise it, but you could. And stay up for the midnight buffet and all of that, too. You could go play shuffleboard. I don't know why anybody would want to, but you could. You could go dancing. You could play some slot machines, most likely. You could sleep the whole time. There are a lot of things you could do on a cruise ship. But no matter what you do on that ship, it's going to Tokyo. And nothing's going to change it. And it is the captain's job to get it to Tokyo, not your job. God has a plan for your life, and once you put your hand in Christ's hands, he says, I'm going to get you to heaven. And whether you realize it or not, it's not in your hands anymore. And there are times you may want to let go of God's hands, but God's not going to let go of yours because you put your hand in his by putting your faith in Christ. And like the captain's job to get us to Tokyo, it's God's job to get you to heaven. It doesn't depend on you. Can you be grateful for that? Oh, baby, oh, baby. Yeah, you can. Because it doesn't depend on me to keep myself saved. If I worked to earn my salvation, then anytime I stopped working, the salvation would stop working. But I don't earn my salvation. It is the gift of God's grace, and I put my hand in his, and I accept it through Christ, and then he's going to hold on for the rest of the cruise line. So, God says, I'm going to use it all, and I can use the plans that God has for you. Now, sometimes we doubt God's plan. Kay and I decided to do one television broadcast interview on Matthew's death. And I chose CNN because I knew CNN is seen all around the world, unlike a lot of other networks. And one of the parts of that one-hour interview, Piers Morgan asked both Kay and me, did we ever doubt God? And did we ever doubt his plan? And I want you to hear our response. When Matthew died, Satan thought he had won. But actually, he had lost. Why? Because he couldn't torture him anymore.
Pastor Rick's first sermon after his son Matthew's tragic suicide. Rick and his wife Kay are back with me now. You obviously have talked about how difficult it was, but at the same time, you're one of the most famous pastors in America, and you knew there'd have to be a moment when you got back out there and talked about this. What was that moment like? I know you both went out on the stage. Kay, you only lasted a couple of minutes because you found it so difficult, which is completely understandable. But for you, Rick, that moment when you walked out?
I was overwhelmed by the love of our people. Kay and I have given 33 years to this church, and I felt like they all gave it back in a moment. It was just a very tender moment for me. As a pastor, I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death with thousands of people. I've stood at the bedsides and seen lots of people take their last breath. I have been there for those people for 33 years, and they were there for us when we needed them most. there are different levels of grief. The easiest funeral to do is when an elderly person dies. They've lived a good life. They love the Lord. They're ready to go to heaven. When my parents died, Kay's dad died, it was kind of a homecoming, celebration of a life. More difficult is the death of a spouse. More difficult than that is the death of a spouse with little children at home. That's tough. A murder is a tough funeral to do. Without a doubt, the most difficult kind of funeral is the death of a child, because parents aren't supposed to outlast their children. And then on top of that is a suicide. And people just go, why? Now, I'm doing the death of a child funeral, the death of my child's funeral. The death of my child's funeral is a suicide. And then, as you said, as a well-known person, everybody knows. It's on the CNN ticker, and it's on everywhere else. And that's difficult, and that's why we just decided, I decided I was going to use social media to grieve.
This is the tough question for you, Rick. There must have been a moment after Matthew took his life when even you questioned your faith in God.
I never questioned my faith in God. I questioned God's plan. There's a big difference. I know God is a good God. Nothing can shake that from my life. I know God is a loving God. The question is, it's like my children. My children have never doubted that I love them, but they sometimes doubt my wisdom, and they don't think I've made the right decision. Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. Everything that happens in the world, God allows, He permits, but because it couldn't happen without His permission. But we live in a world where there are free choices, and if I choose to do wrong, I can't blame God for that. So God isn't to blame for my son's death. My son took his life. It was his choice. And if I chose to go out and get drunk and get in a car and I was in an accident, killed somebody, I can't blame God for that.
Kay, have you gone through any doubt about your faith?
You know, as Rick said, it's not, our faith is partly what's got us, the foundation of what's gotten us through, and it's solid and strong. But I have to tell you that, you know, before I have something I want to show you, there's this box that that I was given to me a few years ago, and it's got the word, it's a marble box, and it's got the word hope on it. And
her hope box.
It's my hope box. And I filled it with verses that gave me comfort, that gave me encouragement, that verses that just kept my faith really strong before Matthew passed away. And every day I would sit and I would read these verses. And that morning, after we had been to his house the night before, and I was pretty certain that he had taken his life, I got up that morning and I opened my hope box and I went through those verses one more time. And then after that, I didn't open it for a month. I couldn't. And then I started to think, so where do I go from here? What do you do when your hope has been crushed? And the only way I know how to rebuild it is to go back to my faith and to God's word. And this time, I started putting verses in that give me hope for the future. Like there's this amazing verse that's in 1 Corinthians 15:43. It says, our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. And so every time when I go to the cemetery, I quote that verse. Because you know what? Matthew's body was broken. A gun broke his body, and he was buried in brokenness. But he's going to be raised in glory. He was buried in weakness. I say, Matthew, you were buried in weakness, but you will be raised in strength. So the struggle has been not in believing that God exists, not that God is evil, because God is good.
He is good.
But I have this other little tiny pot when there's questions I can't answer. Like, did Matthew think of us before he pulled the trigger? Did he... Was there any moment in which he suffered? Why, after all those years of prayer and effort, did he die? All these things that I have no answers for. And I put them in this little pot. It's my mystery pot. So here's my hope box. I've got a little mystery pot. And so every day, almost, I fill it with another question that I can't answer. But what I know to be true is that God will answer those questions. They will be answered. And my hope is very certain.
And that Matthew was not in heaven 3 seconds when all of his questions were answered.
His life makes sense to him now.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great message from Pastor Rick today. And I have some exciting news to share with you. For just a limited time, you can get the Daily Hope Devotional, 365 Days of Purpose, Peace, and Promise, in a beautiful special leather look gift edition. This stunning keepsake volume brings together 365 of Pastor Rick Warren's most loved devotionals, each designed to help you start your day with clarity, strength, and hope. Pastor Rick often says the most important decision you'll make each day is what you focus on, and this devotional will help you center your heart on God. Every day, you'll find a Bible verse to ground you in God's Word and a short teaching to help you understand God's truth. So, whether you're seeking deeper peace, stronger faith, or a renewed sense of direction, this book provides a trusted framework to grow spiritually one day at a time. And because this leather look edition makes such a meaningful and lasting gift, it's also a powerful way to share God's love with the people you care about most. Be sure to request your copy today when you give a gift to help Daily Hope bring the Word of God to people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.